know, you all didn't get that right. You're supposed to say amen, right? Wasn't that what you're supposed to do? I mean, clapping's nice, but on a song like that, I think. So I'll give you one, two, three.
Amen.
Very good, very good. Welcome today to First United Methodist Church as we gather in worship on this Transfiguration Sunday. This is the Sunday normally that we look at the story of Jesus being transfigured on the mountaintop. And we gather to worship and to remember that story and how it applies to our lives, especially as we enter into the season of Lent. This Ash Wednesday service will be this week. We'll have two services at 6:30, and you'll hear again on the video. We'll have one here in the sanctuary, a traditional one, and a more experiential one in the chapel. So we hope you'll come and join us to begin the journey of Lent together. We want to welcome those guests and visitors who are with us today. We're glad that you're with us today. Also, I want to welcome those who are joining us via live stream. You know, we know we've got a lot of illness in our community. There's a lot of sickness. And so today when Jill invites us to greet one another, don't feel free like you have to shake hands. You can do the bump fist or the touch on the shoulder or, you know, so we want to help keep people healthy today. And I want to stay healthy too. So we will just invite you to remember to use an alternative way of greeting and passing the peace of Christ with one another. We remind you of the prayer cards. There are prayer cards in the pew, and you invite you to pull those out. If there's specific prayer, joy, or concern you want us to lift up in prayer today, we want to do that. And so there'll be people coming around during our music singing time who will be picking those prayer cards up, and then we'll include it in our service later in the service. Also, there's a Connect card for you to fill out, and you'll hear about that also in the video. Just reminding you to place that in the offering basket at that point. We here at First United Methodist Church, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And the way that we do that, our vision is that we are a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. So we are going, one other thing, I don't know if you read the Argus Leader yet today or if you can go online, but we had a great story about one of the longtime groups in our congregation, Wedded Band, and it was a great tribute to their being a small group and celebrating them. I remember when we came as a pastor of the church, we went to the first meeting and there was about 12 couples that were all had been married 50 years or more, and it was a great experience for Paul and I to see. So all those Wedded Band people, I know you don't like to stand, so if you just raise your hand, how about that? See all those Wedded Band people, and we just celebrate their faithfulness and legacy in our church. It's a great, great thing to celebrate, and now all of Sioux Falls knows about it, so that's a good thing, too. We're going to share now in our video now.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church. We're so excited to have you with us for worship today. Here's what's happening at First. The Night Watch Ministry is our mission of the month for February. Every Sunday morning, breakfast is served to almost 100 people out of the Night Watch van. And on Sunday evenings, nearly 200 people are served a warm meal. There are a few ways you can get involved with this mission of the month. You can serve in the van. We need 2 to 3 people every Sunday morning to help with this ministry. You can give using the memo MOM on your offering envelope. And you can pray for the volunteers and leaders of this ministry, as well as for those who are receiving meals each week, that they would also receive the love of God. This Saturday, February 10th, the Habitat for Humanity team will be going to a site for a build day. Every second Saturday of the month, we partner with Habitat to help build a house for someone in need. Mark on your Connect card if you would like more information about this service opportunity. On February 13th, from 4:30 to 6:30, come get your fill of flapjacks and live entertainment as we celebrate Shrove Tuesday. All the proceeds raised from this event will go towards purchasing musical instruments for Lowell Elementary and help purchase a new refrigerator for our signature mission, Kid Stop. That very next day is Ash Wednesday, which marks the beginning of Lent. We will have two worship services at 6:30 that night, a traditional service in the sanctuary, and an experiential service in the chapel. Come early that night and enjoy a potato bar fundraiser. The money raised from dinner that night will go towards United Methodist Committee on Relief. UMCOR is an important agency for aid in times of natural disasters and humanitarian crises, known to be the first one in and the last one out. We can't think of a better way to kick off the season of Lent. We hope to see you there. Over the next few weeks, we are asking people to completely fill out your Connect card, even if you think we have all your information. With the new year, we're cleaning up our system, and we want to make sure we have your right phone number, email, and mailing address. So please take some time to fill that out this morning, as it truly is the best way we can get you connected here at First. Now, I invite everyone to stand and share in community by greeting those you're worshiping with this morning.
Let us remain standing as we share in our call to worship and our opening prayer. We do not know what to say, but a cloud overshadows us. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Lord, we listen today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the newness of this day, that even in the midst of the cold, we feel the power of your light and sun. We pray that Jesus would be in our midst as we remember the day that he was transfigured on the mount and his glory was shown, only the glory of your Son. So help us to experience him anew and afresh this day as we share in the gifts of worship together. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.
Please join as we sing our opening hymn, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies, number 173, and that will be followed by Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Christ the Glory Fills the Skies, Christ the Truly Almighty Light, Son of Righteousness Arise, Cry out for us, Chains of
Please be seated. We gather for worship not only to allow God to speak to us, but we also gather to offer to God the blessings of our lives and return to God those things that God has offered and given to us. We just want to remind you that we're still remodeling the multi-purpose room and the fireplace room, and if you want to after church today, if you go down to the end of the hall, you'll be able to see into the multi-purpose room. And if you go down to the lower level, you can go over and see the progress in the fireplace room as well. So we're excited about getting those two places remodeled again, and thank everybody for their faithfulness in giving to that. And so we now ask that the ushers would wait upon us as we give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts to God. And the band is going to lead us in What a Beautiful Name It Is.
Wonderful name it is, nothing comes.
We begin in silent prayer. God, we invite the power of your Spirit, the power of your ways, the gift of your love in this place. Reveal your glory to us today, like you did to Peter and James and John. Help us to see you anew and afresh. Help us to listen to you. Guide us in the season of Lent that we may truly open ourselves, walk deeper with you, and be touched by the power of your love. In this season, we pray that you would bring us health, that you would fill us with joy, and that you would renew us each day. There are many names and situations and people and things that are on our hearts today. In this moment, Lord, we pause to offer them to you. May your healing power be with Mrs. Van Bremen's mother, and for Sue, and for Linda, and for Elliot, for Jess and Travis and Rick and Paul, for the family of Shannon Peck, and for the family of Robert Zimmerman. You are the great physician. Allow us to see and experience your healing presence and power. Use us, O Lord, to be your witnesses of the faithfulness that you have offered to us. As we enter into this special season of Lent, O Lord, may we stay focused on you. For you are the name that is above every name. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Our chancel choir sharing with us, "You Are My All in All." We are excited. If you looked, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the news and events, but on the very back, we have a picture of Jacob and his wife Jody. They had a new baby boy, their first child, and so Jacob, our facility manager, is going to be off for a little bit, enjoying that little guy named Jack. So hopefully you can send them a word or a note and congratulate them on that special arrival in their lives, and thankful for their ministry among us. Also, just a reminder to take that home with you, take this home with you, and pray for all of the families that need our support and care. Also, as we said, the season of Lent starts on Wednesday. We're going to participate in an all-congregational experience of deepening our walk in prayer with our prayer journal, as well as understanding a little bit more about how to share our God stories or share our faith. So we invite you to take these books. There's no cost. We've already got them covered. So please join us on the Unbinding Your Heart, 40 Days of Prayer and Faith Service. They're available at every door, so you have no excuse not to just walk by them. You get an excuse to pick one up and take it with you, and it'll be part of our sermon series this during the season of Lent, and we have a whole host of about 20 to 25 small groups that you can join, and you'll probably get a phone call from somebody to invite you to join one of those groups, and we hope that you'll say yes. Also, we have, though, for those that like the Sanctuary for Lent, we have those available at the information desk. If you like a daily devotional that you want to use during the season of Lent, that's another opportunity to grow spiritually in this season. As I said earlier, today is the Transfiguration of the Lord, and we normally use this passage right before Lent. It's part of the scripture readings throughout the year, each year that we do the lectionary readings. And this is the story of when Jesus goes up onto the mountaintop, and he's literally changed, and he shines in glory, and we share in the story of Jesus' transformation from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and brought them to the top of a very high mountain where they were alone. He was transformed in front of them, and his clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than if they had been bleached white. Elijah and Moses appeared and were talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Teacher, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three shrines. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't know how to respond, for the three of them were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the human one, the Son of Man, had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of mountains, God of amazing, unbelievable things, open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to listen to you. Amen. When I graduated from high school in 19, whatever it was back then, anyway, when I graduated from high school, two buddies of mine and I, we decided we were going to go on a little senior trip after we graduated that summer. And so we spent 4 days and went to Colorado to purposely climb Long's Peak. Now, this is a 14,297-14er, and it doesn't take a lot of skill to climb it, just a lot of physical energy, because you don't have to have all that climbing gear, and you can go up in a day. You can do it in 12 hours. And so when we got there a day early, went to the ranger station, kind of scouted out how we were going to do this. And so then we found out that you need to leave early, because if you are on the summit over the afternoon, that's when sometimes the clouds roll in and there's a possibility you could be struck by lightning. And so we thought, well, that ain't going to happen to us. So we got up at 3 a.m. in the morning and began up to the summit. Now, it takes about 6 hours to get up there. And we went through the different stages of, if you ever, you know, studied in science class, you know, the different areas of going up a mountain. And we crossed up and crawled up a boulder field, and then we went across a very narrow ridge. You could look down and you could fall 1,000 feet if you didn't watch yourself. And then we finally got to the summit, and it was about 9:15. And I remember when we got up there, it was like the most glorious scene you could ever see. Just imagine being at 14,000 feet and just seeing across as long as you could see in the horizon. The sun was up, and it was glorious, and it's kind of one of those moments that I'll never forget. And, you know, it always intrigues me is that we were up there for about 15 minutes. We took pictures. There was a little tube that had a thing where you could sign to say you actually succeeded in climbing it. And I came to find out later that only about 50% of people who try get to the summit. And some of that's because of the weather and some other situations. So I thought we did pretty well to get it to the top that day. But it again amazed me that then, after about 20 minutes of this glorious spot, we were like, whoa, we got to get down. And so we went down. And I think it got harder to go down than it was to go up. And I remember at the end of that day, it was a 12-hour trip. We got back to the place we were staying, and the immediate thing was to fall asleep. But again, it was one of those mountaintop experiences in my life. Today, on the Transfiguration of the Lord Day, we revisit a mountaintop experience that Peter, James, and John experienced with Jesus. They experienced Jesus being literally transformed or transfigured before their eyes. Now, the gospel writer, Mark, begins this passage by saying, after 6 days. Earlier, before this, Jesus had healed a blind man, and later we'll find out that he also, after this story, heals another blind man. And so we have this story in between these two healings. Mark, who puts this in there, really follows a pattern of what Moses experienced when he went to the mountain to meet God. And if you go back to Exodus, you see where Moses prepared to meet God. It took 6 days of preparation. He goes and he descends the mountain, and then when he meets God face to face, his face literally changes. It shines. And it shines literally when he comes down from the mountaintop. And if you read that passage, that Jesus, the people who saw Moses knew that he had seen God just because of the way his face shone as he came down. In the same way, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the mountaintop. They go, we prepare in 6 days, they get there, and Jesus is transfigured before them. This is a mountaintop experience for Peter, James, and John, and like some mountaintop experiences we have with God, we don't know what to do or say because we're just so overwhelmed. And it's interesting, of course, that Peter, always the way that Peter is, he speaks out quick and says, Lord, we're so glad to be here, and we're going to put some statues up, some monuments to remember this place, because this is just so overwhelming. And it's interesting that the word that they used for that moment that they were having that mountaintop experience was they were terrified. They didn't know what else to think or to say. I don't know about you, but I know there have been places in my life where I have met God. Now, it might have been a still, small voice. It might have been, it was in a time of an overwhelming revelation. But I knew I was in the presence of God. And there are those moments, I believe, for all of us. And in fact, Gallup poll tells us that 85% of people believe and know that they've had an experience where they've encountered the living God. It's overwhelming. And it gives us a revelation of God's presence in our lives. Now, it doesn't happen every day, but it happens in just those special moments if we are open to seeing and listening to God. I know often when I would lead church camps, often at the end of camp, many of the kids would say, "We don't want to go back home. We've experienced the overwhelming love of God in this community in this week." One particular girl had that same experience, and so she bought one of the camp t-shirts. It was a white t-shirt with the logo on it. And so then, to remember that special week of when she experienced God's love in her life, she wore that t-shirt every day through the fall. And then she went to a gathering where they were serving spaghetti, and she spilled the spaghetti on her white t-shirt. And she was so sad because she's like, "Man, spaghetti sauce not going to come out too easy." Well, her mother said, "Hey, I can bleach that, I think." And so she does. She puts bleach on this t-shirt, kind of walks away and forgets, but then the logo came completely off. Again, her daughter was just upset because this t-shirt reminded her of that special high God mountain type experience in her life. But then it dawned on her, I don't need a t-shirt to remember God's special moment in my life. It is a part of who I am and what I remember. As we enter into this season of Lent, I would help us to remember our mountaintop experiences with God. Might have been confirmation. Might have been a church camp. It might have been at a family gathering. It might have been in a time when you were so low in life that you didn't know where else to turn and God came to meet you. But my friends, we all have those God moments. Those aha moments when we experience God. Those mountaintop experiences. They're the ones that help us in worshiping and praising and seeing God's glory. Now in this mountaintop experience, we see Jesus in a different way. Because of this transfiguration, the disciples see Jesus in a different way. Jesus isn't just a human being who comes to teach a few lessons about God and to heal people. Jesus, they see, is the Son of God. The divinity of Jesus, Jesus as God, is displayed in the transfiguration, in his meeting with the prophets, Moses being the lawgiver, Elijah being the prophet who would come again. Jesus is revealed fully as the Messiah, the promised one that would come. And Peter and James and John are so overwhelmed they don't recognize it. They can't see it because it just doesn't make sense to them. That Jesus is God. Often we forget that part of Jesus. We relate to the human part of Jesus, the Jesus experience of teaching. But more importantly, this day helps us to recognize and prepare ourselves for another mountain that Jesus will climb, the one on Golgotha, and yet turn that into the resurrection and new life. The glory of God coming to meet each of us, to see Jesus in a different way. I was reading about infants back before they had discovered cataract surgery, that infants who would have cataracts couldn't see for many years. They were blinded. And then when there was the discovery of a surgical procedure that could help remove the cataracts, many of these persons had been, 20 or 25 when this had occurred. They had been blind since birth. And when they had the cataract surgery, all of a sudden they could see. But it was so overwhelming that one girl, for an example, kept her eyes closed for 2 days because it was so bright. She wasn't used to seeing that. Or that things or objects they could see, they were like, well, that's not what they imagined them looking like, and it disoriented so many people. Here they had been given the gift of sight, and yet they almost wanted to go back to blindness where it was safe. There's a spiritual metaphor for us in that, and that's what Mark does in this passage, because he says, as Jesus healed a blind man before this story and then heals another blind man, Mark is trying to say to us that us as disciples sometimes are blind to seeing God. Because seeing something new or glorious means that we have to let go of something we had thought of or saw before. And letting the revelation of God be shown. The spiritual seeing is like seeing for the first time. Aha experience is something new. And seeing something new. Raphael, the great artist, has a painting of this piece. I think we should be able to see this. Maybe not. There it is. This is a 16th century painting of the Transfiguration. And if you look closely at it, you see the glory of God and Elijah and Moses, and the disciples are overwhelmed. And yet you can see onto the right side, I guess on the right side for you, that the plain is still there. The sense of worship of God, and yet they know that they later descend. They have seen God, and they've seen Jesus in a different way, in a new way. Hopefully in this season of Lent, we too will see Jesus in a new way. But not only see Jesus, but also listen to him. When you see these passages, this passage of Mark that we read today is also in Matthew and Luke and referred to in the Gospel of John. It's one of the few stories that is in every gospel. And if you put them side by side, the three words that are in every one of the stories are listen to him. Listen to him. We're to open our eyes and open our ears to see Jesus as God and to listen to God speak. During this season of Lent, it is our prayer that we would begin by sharing in this time of prayer, of listening to God. And then also, in going through this material, remembering and seeing the places where God's glory has broken through in our lives and how we share that with others. Matthew had an illness of autoimmune system. He was on a respirator, and the doctors didn't know how to communicate with him to somehow give him the right treatment to heal him. But yet he was alert, and so his parents would get questions from the doctor, and the doctor would then say, if you can get us answers for these questions, we might be able to help him. And so the parents would sit and recite the alphabet over and over to get him to nod yes for a specific letter to answer the question. It took a long time of listening to him and seeing him respond. But eventually it helped in his treatment and he became healed. The doctor couldn't believe it, and his admiration for these parents who painstakingly listened to their son to get the answers to help him. He said, you know, so often in my life when my child would come up, I kind of ignore him. But yet, in this case, he was reminded how much the parents loved their son, that they were willing to listen to him. It is through the power of our love with God and how God loves us that during this season of Lent, may we be literally transformed, transfigured, for seeing the glory of God in Jesus Christ, and to listen to God in Jesus speak to us. May we invite the power of God's presence in our lives in this Lenten season. And I'm challenging all of us to see Jesus in a new way as the Son of God, and to listen to him in our paths and journeys of life. Madeline Lingle wrote about the Transfiguration in a very poetic form, and that's what I want to leave us with this picture and this image in our minds of the transfiguration. She writes, suddenly they saw him the way Jesus was, the way he really was all the time. Although they had never seen it before, the glory which blinds the everyday eye and so becomes invisible. This is how he was, radiant, brilliant, carrying joy like a flaming sun in his hands. This is the way Jesus was, is from the beginning, and we cannot bear it. So Jesus manned himself, came manifest to us there on the mountain. They really saw him. They saw his light. We know that if we really see him, we die. But isn't that what is required of us? Then perhaps we will see each other too. Let us pray. We behold your glory. Transform us today, O Lord. Help us to see you anew and afresh as we journey with you to the cross and to the resurrection. Help us to listen to you in and through our time of daily prayer and meditation, that you will show yourself to us, that we will learn from you, and that we will proclaim your good news. Bless us as your people on this journey of Lent together, for we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. And saying amen, we're going to stand and sing, all the people saying amen. So let us stand and sing together.
Rich or poor, bad luck don't matter. We must.
Again, we want to welcome all those who are worshiping with us today, especially our guests and visitors. We invite you to stay for a time of coffee and fellowship, either down in our round table room or in the Lewis Friendship Room that's directly behind the sanctuary. We invite you to stay for that. Also remind you to pick up a book on your way out and begin to the prayer season on the 14th is when we start with Ash Wednesday in the prayer journal. And we'll invite you to read the first introduction in the first chapter in preparation for your small group whenever that meets, and also for next Sunday in our worship together. Let's share in our sending forth together. Let us go now, sure-footed in faith, with eyes wide open, and waiting for God's glory to surprise us in unexpected ways. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, mystery, sign, and hope, be with us and with those whose lives we touch now and always. May we go forth as disciples of Jesus to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Amen. Our sending song is Open Our Eyes.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. First United Methodist Church has three worship services every Sunday: 8:30 traditional service, 9:45 unity, a vibrant multi-generational service, and 11 o'clock the light, a casual upbeat modern service. If you want any more information, call 336-3652 or check our website at www.smumc.org. Thank you for worshiping with us, and may you have a God-filled week.